I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of the epistle. Today it is Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added to their community those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, it's only been 2 weeks. Yet, in many ways, it seems, well, almost like ancient history. There was so much excitement 2 weeks ago. But it seemed to fade with the red clothes and the pinwheels that line the sidewalk. I mean, the decorations are still beautiful. When you walk in the sanctuary and it's quiet, they really are restful and challenging. All they mean. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I walked up to the church today, I kind of liked seeing the pinwheels that were still spinning in the wind. One of them, the pinwheels actually come off of, and we need to get it out of the grass. But as for the excitement, it's gone. Vanished. And yeah, there's a sermon in that somewhere. It'll get preached someday. But for now, let's just rewind ourselves and go back 2 weeks ago. Remember? It was Pentecost. The day that we celebrate the church. When we read the scriptures, it's a day that's filled with dancing flames and blowing wind and disciples running up and down the streets talking in languages they didn't even understand. And then in the midst of all that excitement, there was Peter. You know, this disciple who was notorious for acting when he should have been listening and speaking when he should have been quiet. That Peter? But on Pentecost, I mean, everything changed, including Peter. On that day, the man who seemed to always manage to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, he presented a sermon that was so powerful, 3,000 people were baptized that day alone. I mean, if there was ever a perfect sermon that has been preached, it would have been that one. It did everything it was supposed to do. It helped those who were listening encounter the living God. It explained, it guided, it challenged, it inspired. It opened up the doors of possibility. It was the perfect sermon. And that was important. It was important then, and as we discussed last week, it's important if we want to be a growing, vibrant church. But you know, if Pentecost had simply been a one-day event, if the people had simply congratulated Peter and he smiled and thanked them for enjoying the sermon as he preached it, and he gave them a heartfelt thank you, and then he invited them to return next week, and they all went home feeling really good about themselves, nothing would have happened. Nothing. The church would never have taken root. in which case we would not be gathered here today. It's what happened after Peter stopped preaching, after the others had finished speaking in tongues, and after the 3,000 people were baptized. That's what brought the church to life. Do any of you remember? Remember what I just read? The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. My friends, that is what a healthy congregation does. That's what it should look like today. While worship is important, and good preaching is a springboard, and that's kind of scary when you have me as your preacher. Worship is what springs us into the transformation of our lives. But in the words of the Reverend Ryan Algram, who helped inspire today's sermon, I quote, "It is coming together to live out the ministry of Jesus, to forgive each other, to learn how to love each other, to share with each other, and to have hope together that transforms us." In other words, they came together as a group. They began living their lives out together. They began sharing. They began caring. Worship was important, but it wasn't the only thing. You know, Jesus was an excellent teacher. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a more powerful preacher than him. Yet it was when he sat down with small groups, when he was sharing a meal, visiting in someone's home, or simply sitting on a hillside with the disciples, more than just the 12. But all of those who followed him wherever he went, there were many. It was in those moments that some of his best ministry occurred. Think of the barriers that he broke down when he gathered around a table with tax collectors and prostitutes. And what about all those times that he entered into conversations with women and Gentiles and outcasts and foreigners? Those were the moments that lives were transformed and divisions were healed. His miracles occurred. But more often than not, they occurred when Jesus simply reached out and made people feel loved. And the same thing that happened in the ancient church, as people patterned themselves after the ministry of Jesus, as they gathered to worship and pray and study and fellowship, the church began to grow. And yes, the same thing happens today when congregations are intentional about developing opportunities for diverse individuals to come and to worship. When we bring different groups together, when we care, when we share. The church grows when we listen and we learn, when we develop new relationships and nurture old relationships. The church is the church when we give and we receive the grace of God. In a sermon I heard a few years ago, the pastor talked about a woman who came to his office one day. As her story unfolded, he discovered that her life had been one filled with one tragic event after another. She'd grown up in a very dysfunctional home. She had been the victim of almost every kind of abuse and neglect one could think of. She endured verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And it didn't end with her childhood. It followed her into the early years of her adulthood. One day, after he had been visiting with her, he walked out of the office and he saw one of the older women in the congregation coming down the hall. And he did what we do when we have somebody standing there and somebody new. He introduced him. And what he saw transpire was nothing less than God at work in the congregation. The older woman either understood that something tragic had happened to the younger one, or for some reason she saw something in her that she wanted to reach out and touch, and so she invited her to lunch. He never knew what transpired during that lunch, but after a while, the woman came to worship. And then he saw her at Sunday school classes and a Bible study. And one day she participated in an outreach ministry of the church. She later told him that the worship, the singing, the Bible studies, they were all important. But what turned her around was a small group that not only invited her in, but embraced her and loved her into what Jesus intended her to be. They believed in a part of her that she could never see. And when she wanted to turn her back on that person Jesus wanted her to be, when she thought it was impossible, when she didn't believe that's who she was, the small group kept encouraging her. They kept loving her. They kept inviting her in. She told the preacher, that's what changed her life. The day she joined the church, that small group that had been so important to her surrounded her. And they repeated the words that we repeat every time someone joins this church. Repeat them with me. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Historic words, beautiful words, but they're only words until we live them into reality. Until we rejoice with each other, until we pray with each other, until we reach out and serve with each other. That small congregation made a difference because they took those words to heart. They lived them into reality. Through living out the covenant, by witnessing to their faith through the simple acts of fellowship, and this small group had turned a life around. She found the faith and the courage to turn from tragedy to triumph. She found the love that she needed to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to do the same thing. We are being called to serve the lost and the lonely in our community, to care for those who are struggling and those who simply need someone to listen. I mean, to really listen with their heart. We're being called to reach out and to invite in. We are being called to be the fellowship, the body of Jesus Christ. A few moments ago, we sung the song that is appearing every week during this series. And there's a verse that we sang, a verse that we need to take to heart. And when the people gather, there's singing and there's praying. There's laughing and there's crying sometimes. All of it saying, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church. Together. May we work together to reach others with the love and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together. As the body of Christ. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.